hurts. So Sivan's interesting because in Shavuos is the beginning of the month. So you have a whole month now of Sivan, but the Yantif's already over. Most Yantifs are in the middle of the month or towards the end, but we already had Shavuos and we still have to figure out what to do with Sivan the rest of the month now. But I think it's important for us to note that a month with a Yantif, that month of, the Yantif really defines the month. Whether it's the beginning, the end, the middle, but certainly Sivan is about Shavuos, and the message of Shavuos really carries forth into the rest of Sivan. So the energy of Yom Tov should still be with us, and this whole month we're still dwelling upon those events. So I'm not going to talk about Shavuos in particular today. Now, that's already old news to some degree. But there's an important aspect of Sivan which certainly relates to Matan Torah, which I think is worthwhile to reflect upon and think about a little bit. And I'm going to start with two points, which are obviously going to be related points, and you'll see how they connect as we go through the discussion. We discussed how every single month has its limb or organ that corresponds to the month. We discussed every month has its action or feeling that corresponds to the month. That was the chart we gave out, you know, several months back. So when you look at the month of Sivan, the action associated with the month of Sivan in the Sefer Yetzirah is hiluch, is walking. And the limb of Sivan is the left leg, regular small, the left leg. So we see the connection between the leg and walking, obviously. That's pretty clear. But we have to understand exactly the what does walking have to do with Sivan, the leg, like what's the connection? If anything, Matan Torah, you think about maybe like the brain or the heart or something. But like the leg, it doesn't seem to quite fit Matan Torah. Why the left leg? I'm not sure we'll get into why left versus right, but you know, it says the left leg is the leg is the limb of Sivan. So what's this concept? It's also noted, B'nai Saskar notes, that Nisan corresponds to the right leg. So Nisan is the right leg, and Sivan is the left leg. We spend a lot of time discussing how Nisan and Sivan connect, the Omer connects the two, and certainly both legs together allow you to walk. So that's something very, very clear. There's a build-up of the right leg and the left leg together. And with one leg, a person has to remain stationary, or they can hop. As an aside, it's interesting to note, in Nisan, if it corresponds to the right leg, so picture one leg, you can hop on one leg. Pesach is about Hashem, you know, hopping over, skipping over the houses of Klal Yisrael. There's a concept of dilug, of skipping, that applies to Pesach. So Pesach begins with this idea of one leg, and it is a holiday about skipping. But certainly Nisan and Sivan combine to create both legs. And when Sivan arrives, now a person has the ability to walk. So it really fits in terms of the math, at least. We have to figure out why this all is. But in Nisan, we're stuck on one leg, and we're either stationary or we're hopping. And that's why Nisan's about Pesach, Psicha, Dilug, skipping. And when Sivan arrives, the second leg now comes into play, and the action of Sivan is walking, is Hiluch. So that all kind of fits together. It's nice, but we have to understand the deeper concept. So what's this concept that Sivan corresponds to walking into the leg? So I want to begin with a pasuk. It's not in the packets there. I have it separately. A pasuk in Zechariah. It says, it's not in the packets. I didn't copy this pasuk. The pasuk in Zechariah says, this is actually the Haftorah we lay in on Chanukah. I think it's only the second Shabbos Chanukah. It's not, we don't lay in it every single year on Chanukah, but I think on this, if there's two Shabbos Chanukahs, you lay in this Haftorah. And the pasuk speaks about the Kohen Gadol Yehoshua, and he has an encounter with a malach. And it describes how he was there. He was wearing, you know, dirty clothing. And Hashem says to Yeshua, you should remove the dirty clothing and you should put on fine clothing. And at the very end of the discussion, Hashem is describing to Yeshua the Kohen Gadol. He says, Komar Hashem Tzevakos, im v'drachai telich, we go my ways, v'mis mishmarti tishmor, and you guard my laws, v'gamata tadinus besi, and you judge my household appropriately, v'gam tishmor eschatzera, and you guard my courtyards, v'nesati lecha mahalchim, ben umdim eila. I will give you mahalchim. I will allow you to walk amongst these umdim, amongst these that stand. So he's describing to Yeshua that you'll be able to walk amongst the standing people. Who are the standing people? It's the malachim. Right? The malachim here are referred to as umdim, as standers. And Yeshua, the Kohen Gadol, a tzaddik, a human being, is referred to as a mahalich, as a walker. So we already see this concept in the pasuk that human beings are referred to as mahalchim, as walkers, And malachim are referred to as standers. You know, they're stationary, they stay still. So it's interesting that we actually try to emulate this daily. In Shemoneh Esrei, we stand still with our feet together. And the Shulchan Aruch says, why does one stand that way for Shemoneh Esrei? Shulchan Aruch says, because really the Gemara says it, they're trying to emulate the malachim. And therefore we stay still. And not only that, we put our feet together because the Pasuk in Yechezkel says that malachim, it says, Raglehem regli yashara. Their leg is a straight leg. So that means that, number one, you kind of look at it as kind of sort of on one leg, just straight down. And also, they don't have any joints. They don't bend, is the description. If you look at the Mefarshim in Yechezkel, it says the Malachim don't have knees, or they're just kind of, it's like one straight leg. And I guess the image would be standing still or hopping, like we mentioned before, but they don't actually walk, the Malachim. So we don't know much about Malachim. I don't understand what that means exactly. But whatever image is being described in Yechezkel describes Malachim as standing on one straight leg. That's how it describes it. Raglehem regel yashara. Their legs are a straight leg. So therefore, for Shemoneh Esrei, we attempt to emulate Malachim. We want to connect to Hashem as a Malach. We want to be able to have that devotion and that connection. And therefore, we stand with our feet together, straight, like a Malach who is an Omid. So we actually, every single day, we act like a Malach by standing still on a leg. That's what we do. So now we at least have some sort of structure to deal with. We have the human being as a walker and the Malach as a stander. That's what we have. So there's some contrast being made between the Malach and the human being. So at Matan Torah, Chazal describe in many different places that there was a major debate happening between Moshe Rabbeinu and the Malachim. Maybe you've heard something from Midrashim before, but I have here, that's in the packets now. If you look at the beginning of the packet, there's a Gemara, Masech HaShabbos quoted, I have an arrow on the bottom where we're going to start. And it describes an encounter between Moshe Rabbeinu and the Malachim. And you'll see on the next page, we'll get to it, there's a Medrash also describing that encounter. So let's read through some of these sources and see how the Malachim and Moshe Rabbeinu interacted in Matan Torah. And obviously this relates to Shavuos and to Sivan, because that all occurred in the month of Sivan. So if you look on the first page, the Gemara Masech HaShabbos, I put a bracket towards the bottom and an arrow. It says, Amar Yishuv ben Levi, B'shah she'ala Moshe l'marum, when Moshe Rabbeinu went up into Shemayim to get the Torah, Amu Malachi Yasharis and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Malachim said to Hashem, Ribono she'olam, Malo Yud Isha b'neinu. They said to Hashem, what's this human being doing amongst us? Like, these are all these holy Malachim up there doing their thing. Why is this person born of flesh and blood up here amongst us? So they had a complaint to Hashem. Amar lehen lekabel Torah ba. So Hashem said to the Malachim, he's here to get the Torah. What do you expect? Amar lefan, they said to Hashem, chamuda genuza shegenuza loch tisha meos v'shivim varba doros. They said to Hashem, you know, this precious hidden gem that you had hidden away for 974 generations. And it's that number where it comes from. The Pasuk says, Davar Tziva Le'elef Dor. Hashem commanded his word to the thousandth generation. Now we know that in this world, beginning from Adam to Moshe, it was only 26 generations. So that implies there's 974 generations prior, whatever that means, prior to this world, that were just waiting for the Torah to be given. So that's where the number comes from. So for 974 generations, you had this hidden away before the Briyas Olam, Kum Shnevra Olam, before the world was created. Atma Vakash, the Nalbasar Vadam, you give it to flesh and blood? I mean, this belongs to us. We're the Malachim. This is a very spiritual thing. You're going to give it to this human being? So now we get into Tehillim Perek Ches, which is where this is all based on. What is the human being when you mention him? Like, what good is a human being? Why would you even account, recognize a human, a Ben Adam, a human being? Hashem Aroneinu. This is still quoting from Tehillim. No, Hashem, our Lord. Ma Adir Shem Chabchal Aretz. How great is your name amongst the land. Asher Tzehodchal Hashemayim. You should put your glory in Shemayim. I mean, don't give your glory, your Torah, to the people on earth. Keep it up here in Shemayim. And that's the Malachim. This is a quote from Tehillim Perek Ches. And this is what the Malachim said to Hashem. So the Malachim are upset about Moshe Rabbeinu being up there and taking their Torah. And Hashem had to respond to this. So Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu LaMoshe. So Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, Hechzor LaTshuva. Answer them, Moshe. Defend yourself. What are you going to say, Moshe? Amar lefanav, Ribono Sholom. Misyara ani shema yisrafuni behevel shebepihem. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, I'm scared they're going to burn me with the fire of their mouths. I don't want to mess with Malachim. It's a little too scary for me, Moshe said. Amar lo, echoz bekisei kavodi v'chazor lehen tshuva. So Hashem said, don't worry about it. Grab onto my heavenly throne and then answer them. You'll be protected by me. So you don't worry about their fiery mouths, whatever that means. you could grab onto my throne and then answer. Shenemar ma'aches pekise pierces levananu. It says that you grab onto the face of the throne and Hashem spreads his cloud over you. So Hashem protected Moshe as he's about to debate the Malachim. Vamar Reb Nachum Malamed Shapira Shakai Mizif Shchinaso. So this teaches us that Hashem took some of the glory of his Shchina, Vananu Alav, and his clouds and placed it on Moshe. Okay, so Moshe now has protection. He's ready to respond. Amar Lefanav Ribono Sholom. So then Moshe said to Hashem, Ribono Sholom. He said to Hashem, Master of the World, Torah Sha'ata Nosemli, this Torah you're giving me, Maksivba, what does it say inside anyways? Right? What does it say in the Torah? So Hashem responds, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Tzitzicha Meretz Mitzrayim. Hashem responded, well, it says in there, the first of the steps of Debros, I am Hashem your God, took you out of Mitzrayim. Amr Lahen, so Moshe said to the Malachim, L'Mitzrayim Yeradetem, would you go to Mitzrayim? L'Paro Hishtabatem, did you serve Paro? Obviously it's not meant for you, because you didn't do that, we did that. Torah Lamatei Lachem, why should you get the Torah? So that's his first response. Shuv Maksivba, then he says to Hashem, what else does it say? So Hashem says next of the Seres Debros, Lo Yelucha Elohim Achirim Alpanai, you can't have any other gods. Bein Amin Matem Shruyan, so he says to the Malachim, do you live amongst the idolatrous nations? She'ovdim Avodas, and I apologize for the coffee, I learned how to flip it back and forth. Avodas Giluim, that serve idols? Do you have that challenge, Malachim? You live up here with Hashem, you know what's right. You don't have the challenge of Vodazara. And then he says, Shumak, what else does it say? Zechor Zim HaShabbos Lekadsho, it says you should keep Shabbos. Klamata Osim Malacha, well, do Malachim, do you work? Shabbos means you have to rest. You don't work. Shatrichim Shavos, do you have to rest? Shumak, what else does it say? Lo Sisa, you don't take Hashem's name in vain. Masamat Yish Benichim, well, do you have business dealings you have to swear about and use Hashem's name? You don't do business. And then he keeps on going. Shumak Sibba, Kabbos Avicha Semecha, you honor your parents. Aveim Yishchem, do you have parents, Malachim? Obviously, you get the idea. It keeps on going. L'signov, kena yesh b'neichem, l'sirtzach, l'sinov, l'signov, you know, don't steal, don't commit adultery, don't murder. Do you have jealousy? Do you have yetzer hara? So, miyad hoda lo kosh baruch hu. So, immediately the Malachim admitted to Hashem that they were wrong. Shenemar, as it says in the end of that perek, Hashem Adonenu, madir shimcha b'chol aretz, says the end of that perek, Hashem, our Lord, how great is your name amongst the land? And then it doesn't repeat that Hashem should leave his glory in heaven. I mean, in the beginning of that chapter of Tehillim, the Malachim said, Hashem, your glory should be in heaven. At the end, they left that out. Because at the end, they agreed to Hashem, the Torah should go on earth. So that's one conversation you have of Moshe Rabbeinu and the Malachim. Now, just to keep this going, look at the next page. This is the Medrash Shulchan Tov. This is the Medrash on Tehillim. If you notice, I put another arrow there where it starts. This Medrash actually says there are three places that the Malachim argue with Hashem. So it gives three examples. One was about the creation of Adam, one was about the building of the Mishkan, one was about the Torah being given. So obviously our topic today is the Torah. So if you look down to where we marked it off, you find by Matan Torah as well. When Hashem wanted to give the Torah to Klal Yisrael, Hitzchilu HaMalachim Medainim V'omrim Lefanav. They started arguing, and they said before Hashem, Manor Kisis Karenu, again, the same, the Perkin Tehillim, what is the human being that you should recognize him? Vamru Lefanav, Ishorcha Shtitin Torah B'Shemayim, Lamash Anu Kadoshim V'Torasa Kadosha. They said to Hashem that it makes much more sense for you to leave the Torah in Shemayim. You know, we are holy, your Torah is holy, we're a good match. Anu Tehorim, your Torah is pure, we're pure. Anu Chayim, the Torah Chayim, you know, we're alive, the Torah is alive, you know, human beings die, Malachim don't die. Amr Lahem, so Hashem said to the Malachim, Einam Ruya Laskayim Bachem, no, it's not fit for you. Shinamar, as it says, L'simatze Baratz Chayim, Vish Eretz L'mayla, V'ichanim Eskeyam Es B'tachtonim. So, it says you don't find it in the land of the living. The, Nechish Eretz L'mayla is their land in Shemayim. Where do you find where would the Torah actually endure? Only in the lower worlds, only in the physical world. Shnemar Anochi Asisi Eretz V'Adam Alea Barasi. It says, I created the land and I put Adam upon it. So Hashem tells the Malachim, Torah doesn't belong up there. Where it belongs is the Tachtonim in the lower world, in the physical world, in our world. Rechlunya b'shem Rehuda Amar Mashal Adam. There's a mashal, he says. What's the mashal? Adam Shailo Ben. A person had a son. Vaya oso, again, I apologize for the flip. Vaya oso haben, this son, chaser etzba achas, was missing a finger. Vachan umnas, and he went to teach him a trade. Vaya shem umnas achas, sham umnas achas, sar kola etzba. So there was one trade. He couldn't teach him because he needed to have all your fingers for that trade. And this kid, unfortunately, is missing a finger. So later on, the father came, and he saw this kid didn't know this trade. Amar the rabbis, he said to the teacher, why did you teach him this trade? This is a very capable kid. He's very smart. You taught him everything else. Why did you leave out this trade, this skill? Amar lo umnezu tzricha kol etzbaos. He says, no, I have to be honest with you, that this trade requires a person to have all his fingers. This child, unfortunately, is missing a finger. He can't learn it. So this is the mashal. What's the nimshal? This is what Hashem told the melachim. Eina Torah miskemes bechem. You don't have all of the proper limbs for the Torah. It's like you're missing a finger. Lama she'ein b'neichem pirivrivya lomisa v'tuma l'choli. You know, you don't reproduce. You don't have death. You don't have tuma. You don't have sickness. You're all perfect and holy. But the Torah says, "V'chseba Torah Adam kiamas bohel." There's a concept: a human being dies, and there's tuma. Zos tosam atzora. There's a concept of tzaras. Ishik zira. There's a concept of a woman giving birth. Ishik yisi azava. A person can be azava, can become tame. V'chein azeh tochlu. There's ideas of what you can eat, what you can't eat. Hold baruch ameila in benichem. You don't have all these things amongst you. So same idea the Gemara said that this obviously the Torah doesn't relate to melachim. That's why it can't be found in the land of the Melachim, only in this world. So Hashem, in His chesed, gave it to Moshe when he finished speaking to the Melachim. So that's this. We'll stop there in the Medrash. Both the Medrash and the Gemara have a very similar take on the situation over here, which is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a Torah. The Melachim felt they deserved it because they're so holy and so pure and so perfect. And Hashem said, obviously it's not meant for you. The Torah is meant for the human being who has to live in this world and deal with all of these issues and challenges. And that was the point made to the Melachim. So what exactly is the conversation they're having? Like, what did the Melachim think? And what was Hashem's response? And on a simple level, we kind of sense it. The Melachim felt, you know, we're holy, it's holy. You know, and they're not so holy. And Hashem said, yeah, they're not so holy, but the laws in the Torah fit them and don't fit you. That was the simple conversation. But on a much deeper level, the Melachim felt that giving Torah to the human being is a disgrace to the Torah. You're going to send it into this world where people have a Yitzhara, and people have Tumah, and people do things which are inappropriate and immoral. People are going to disgrace your Torah. They're going to shame your Torah. How could you put the Torah, which is so holy and so pristine, down this world? And the answer back is a very, very important answer. And I think that's a major thing for us to think about right now in the month of Sivan. The Torah really has two different levels to it. There's the concepts of Torah, the conceptual level. Torah is ideas, what's true, what's false, what's good, what's evil. You know, what's right, what's wrong, what's appropriate, inappropriate, moral, immoral. And that could be reserved for philosophy class. You know, and we could discuss all the laws of the Torah and leave them as a philosophy, what's right and what's wrong. But the Torah also has a very practical part of it, which is that we don't just talk about philosophy, we're supposed to actually perform Torah. You know, the Torah talks about not to be jealous, so we have to actually grapple with jealousy and then act out, you know, not being jealous, or I mean, not act it out, but sincerely not be jealous and fulfill the Torah says. The Torah talks about not eating certain things, so we can sit here and discuss the merits of keeping kosher. But when it comes down to it, we have to actually keep kosher, and we have to actually fulfill that mitzvah. And the Melachim are looking at the Torah from a very philosophical perspective, right and wrong, true and false, and everything the Torah has its reason and its point and its message is trying to give us. But Hashem said the Torah's goal is very different. The Torah's goal is to be given to the human being because the human being has to deal with these things in reality. And therefore, the human being that has taiva, desire, challenges, shortcomings, struggles, that's what the Torah is meant for. Why? Because it's not meant to remain in the realm of ideas and philosophy and, you know, just discussed in scholarly circles. It's meant to be for us to embrace it, you know, through our challenges and through our issues. That's what Torah is meant for. And this really brings us back to the original point we're making. Malachim, we say, are standers, human beings are walkers. What does that mean? Malachim, they don't have challenges. They don't have desires. They don't have issues. They don't have shortcomings. They're frozen. They are what they are. They're created perfect. They are perfect. And they, if they disappear, they disappear perfect. They disappear at times. Chazal tell us, depending on the malach. But, you know, but they're perfect beings. There's no issues that they have to grapple with. They do their mission given to them by Hashem. And then they're gone. That's a malach. So there's standards in the point that for them, there's no room for movement or growth. They are what they are, and that's how they are created, and that's how they live. And that's what a malach is. They have no free choice. Bechira means, having free choice means that you have actually two things to choose from, you choose one. If you have no yetzer hara, if you have no desire, if you have no sense of ego or arrogance, you have no sense of jealousy, then there's no choice to make. You do what's right. Finished. A malach is essentially a robot. They do as they're told, as they're programmed, because they have no other choice to make. So there's no room for any sort of accomplishment because they can't implement the Torah. They're not given a challenge and have to overcome something and become greater. They just remain frozen in place. That's all they are. That's the malachim are. When you have a yetzer hara, if you're in a world of challenges, and in a world with struggles, and in a world where you have issues and shortcomings and problems to deal with, so that allows a person to move and to grow. Because I am here, but if I'm able to make the right decision, I can move to the next step, and the next step, and the next step. I can overcome a challenge that I have. I can overcome a taiva that I have. I can overcome an issue I'm dealing with and grow and become greater. A malach doesn't have that because they're created bishlemus, they're created in perfection, and they're made in perfection, and that's it. So human being as a walker, it's because we have the ability to move and to grow. We can go from level to level. I don't think I put this in the sheets either. Just many Sfarim describe this as the meaning of walking versus standing. I'll just read to you from the writings of the Tzlach. The Tzlach writes, Ki malachim nekraim omdim. Angels are referred to as omdim, as standers. And a tzaddik is called mahalchim, a walker. And he explains why. V'tam yedua, the reason is known. Ki malach nishar madrega achas. A malach remains at one level. He never adds, never subtracts. He is what he is, and that's it. But it's tzaddik every day through their good deeds and good actions and through their learning of the Torah, Masik Shlemus is able to attain more and more perfection, move level to level. Mahalch Madrega can go from step to step his entire life. Everything is based on how many good actions that you do. So the human being is the one creature in the entire universe, the entire planet, that has the ability to actually grow. Spiritually, we can move level to level. Animals are what they are, and angels are what they are, from both ends. Angels are, you know, perfect spiritual beings. Animals, I guess, are the perfect physical beings, and we're kind of in the middle. And our job is to deal with our issues and be able to grapple with them and grow from them. That's our job. So, overall, that's the concept of omdim versus mahalchim. We can walk, we can move from level to level, and angels are just frozen in place based on how they're created. And the truth is, we say the Torah is meant for us in our world. It's because this whole world is created for that purpose. I want to read with you, this is the next page in the packet, from Masilas Yesharim. If you've never read this parak in Masilas Yesharim, I think it's required reading for every single Jew. The very first chapter of Masilas Yesharim. The parak says, the title of the parak is Bebir Klal Chuvas. It looks like this, looking at the sheets. Bebir Klal Chuvas Adam Balamo. It's explaining a person's duty in this world. It's not a long chapter, it's only a few pages, but I think it's extremely important, and if you've ever had the chance to learn that chapter, you should definitely learn that chapter. We're going to look at one snippet from it. If you look down at the bottom of the page, he describes the following. He says, so he describes the human being. So the human being is placed into a world that is full of challenges that distance us from Hashem. I mean, our goal in life is we do our best to connect with Hashem. And through that, we are able to accrue eternal reward in Olam Haba and become greater and more spiritual. But this world is just chock full of challenges. Veheim heim ataivos achumrios. These challenges are our physical desires. Asher yimashich acharehem. That if we get drawn after our desires, that will distance us from the true good. And notice the word v'holeich, which I think also means that, you know, we are movers in both directions. Unfortunately, we can move up or we can move back. A malch doesn't fall, a malch doesn't grow. An animal doesn't grow and also doesn't fall. A human being can grow or can fall. This is a very famous quote. He says that it turns out that the human being is really placed into a raging battle. Because all things of our world, whether they are good or whether they are not good, they are all challenges for us. Ha'oni mitzad echad, poverty is a challenge. So is wealth. You know, someone who's poor has to deal with, you know, are they going to steal? Are they going to get upset with Hashem? Are they going to be honest? Are they going to, you know, that's... And someone who's wealthy has to make sure they use their money properly, don't become arrogant, give tzedakah. Kinyush Amar, like it says in Mishle, Pen esba v'chichashti, it says, lest I become satiated, I become rich, and I deny Hashem. V'amarti mi Hashem. I say, who is Hashem? I don't need Hashem. I got all the money I need. V'pen ivarish, or maybe I'll become poor. V'ganafti, and I'll steal. V'tafasti shim elokai, and then I will, you know, be snatched up in the name of Hashem for the wrong. Hashalva mitzad echad, you know, tranquility and peace is a challenge. Ve'sur mitzad echad, and having someone going through different types of trials and tribulations, you know, pain, suffering, that's also a challenge. Achinimse samachama elav panvachor. So the war is on all sides. You know, I think, okay, I'm struggling financially. That's very hard. And then a person is able to say, I have the money I need. Well, that's also hard in a different way. And we're always involved with the challenge of how are we going to overcome this issue in life. V'yela ben chayo, if a person is a valiant fighter, v'yanatzach emelchama, and he wins the war, mikol tzadim from all sides, huyi ha'adam, hashalim, this becomes the complete person, asher yizkei ledabek v'boro, that is zocha, that merits to cling to their creator, v'yetzin prozdor hazeh, and they'll leave this entranceway and enter into the banquet hall, which is on Haba, to enjoy the light of life, enjoy Hashem. The kfiyah shira asher kavash is yitzro, and based on the amount the person is able to conquer his yitzahara, v'tavosav, and his desires, v'srachim min ha-mirchikim osam, we stay away from the things that take us away from Hashem, v'anishtadol v'dabek bo, and we try our best to cling to Hashem, kensigeo v'yismach bo. So that's how much we will achieve connecting with Hashem and rejoicing in it. So that's one paragraph of Masil Susharim. But his description is, this is what the world's all about. It's not a Bedi Evid that we have to deal with challenges and struggles and taivas and desires and shortcomings. That's what the world was created for. And the Torah was given for that world, for those people who are not malachim. No, we're not angels, and we know we're not angels. We're not supposed to be angels, we're supposed to be people. And being people means that we're not perfect. People are not perfect. But that means that we have room to grow and to achieve and to accomplish, which a malach does not have that room. So this is this idea of halicha, that we're always going to another level. I find it fascinating that we refer to a Jewish law as halacha. Walking, right, as halacha. So, one... We call it halacha, that's what we call it, right? Okay. Which really means walking, right? So we translate halacha as meaning a law. There's a halacha about this, halacha about that. So I think the simple meaning means, you know, it's the way to go about doing things. You know, the halacha is the way you go about doing it. But on a deeper level, the halacha means that these are the ways through which we are holy. This is how we grow to the next level. If I keep the halacha, I've now pushed myself to the next level. And so I keep on moving and growing every single step of my day is through halacha. So the human being is mahalich, we walk, and our job daily is to keep halacha, to keep walking. That's our job every single day. The malach again stands still and is stationary and is frozen in its place. Now, its place, it's perfect and it's pure, but it doesn't do anything, it doesn't accomplish anything on its own, it just is what it is. So Chodesh Sivan is a month of Matan Torah, which means it's the month where this debate of the malach versus the Adam really comes out into the forefront. Because if there's anywhere that you find, you know, this contrast being made, it's in Matan Torah. That's the most powerful place we find such a contrast. Matan Torah, as we saw at length, both in the Gemara and the Medrash, the Malach and the human being having their fight, having their debate, and they're figuring out, you know, who's going to win. So Adam, being that we walk, so in Sivan we get our second leg, you know, the right leg in Nisan, left leg in Sivan, so now we can actually walk. and the Malach remains frozen in place on its one leg. And that shows us that the Torah's whole purpose is fulfilled through the Adam, through the human being. And we spoke about it for the past month or so, different ideas of being a human being, you know, versus an animal, what it means to break out of the physical into the spiritual. And this is the contrast of the human being versus the Malach. But it's all about the human being. You know, Matan Torah is about the human being, and Sivan is about the human being. The Torah is the tool that we have to keep in our arsenal in order to use it to overcome these challenges and to achieve what a human being is able to achieve. A Malach has no share in this. A Malach doesn't need to keep Torah. A Malach doesn't have the Torah. And Torah is useless for a Malach because they don't have the challenges we go through that Torah is meant for. It's interesting, just as an aside, the Medrash Shochar Tov we quoted before, we didn't see this part, but it discusses how after the Egel Hazav, so the Malachim said to Hashem, "Told you so, they can't handle it," basically. You know, I'm embellishing upon the words a little bit, but basically it was like, "I told you so." And Hashem says, "Really?" He says, "You guys went down to Avram Avinu, and he served you meat and milk." Right, it says there's basar v'chema. There is butter and meat, and you ate it. But the little Jewish kid comes home from school, and his mother brings out, you know, a milchik snack. They can't have it, I'm fleishik, right? And everyone knows that. So he says, obviously it's for the human being. So that's also a funny conversation. Like, we're talking about the Torah is not at all relevant to Malachim. And I think that's one point there, is that the fact they basar v'chalov is because they have no reason to refrain from basar v'chalov. That's part of the point Hashem is making, that, you know, even though they might make mistakes, that still doesn't mean that you're more connected to Torah than they are. The human being is meant to have Torah. You know, we deal with the challenge of Basar V'Chalav. You guys can eat Basar V'Chalav all you want because you don't have that challenge. I think that's part of what the Medrash is bringing out, you know, in that story. But on a much higher level, you know, there's another idea of Halicha. And this is actually the concept brought out in the Nefesh HaChaim. Halicha is the walking. The idea that human beings are walkers. So there's another concept brought out from the Nefesh HaChaim. That's the next page here. Nefesh HaChaim, Perach Yod. And besides the fact that a Malach is stationary in terms of growth, the human being is able to grow, he brings out a deeper concept of what it means that a human being moves and walks and a Malach is stationary. And the way to introduce this is that the human being has another quality a Malach does not have, which is being that a Malach is spiritual and we're physical, so only we can take something physical and make it spiritual. A Malach can't do that because a Malach is not physical, a Malach is spiritual. So a Malach has no ability to take a piece of steak and use it for a mitzvah or make it holy. A Malach can't, you know, take a fruit and use that fruit to serve Hashem, because it doesn't click, because the Malach is spiritual and these things are physical. Only the human being is able to take things from the physical world and elevate them. It says in Matan Torah, V'yir Hashem al Har Sinai, Hashem came down unto Har Sinai. And Rashi describes there that Hashem, in a description at least, took the Shemayim like a sheet and laid it out over the mountain. So I think on the symbolic level, that means that Matan Torah, when Hashem gave the Torah, that was a time where the heaven and earth are supposed to meet. And the concept was, the Torah is meant to come to earth, but earth is meant to rise up to heaven. And they come together. And the Torah is meant for us to be able to take those things which are physical and elevate them to much higher levels. So the Nefesh HaChaim has this concept, he discusses in a few places, that there's a pasuk we say, Yaakov Chevel Nachalaso. Literally, Yaakov is the rope of Hashem's heritage. Now, Chevel can mean a portion, but also can mean a rope. So the simple meaning of it is that Yaakov, that the Jewish people are Hashem's portion. But the word chevel is a rope. And Nefesh HaChaim says, this I think is an analogy, it was quoted from earlier sources, he says that the idea of a rope is that, you know, the rope can be connected all the way up in Shemayim, and we're all the way down here, but you can shake down here, and it actually impacts what happens up there. You know, a rope, when you shake a rope, it goes a long way. So Klal Yisrael, the Jewish people, we are Hashem's rope. And that means that what we do down here is able to impact things happening up there. We're able to take things that are way down in our world and allow them to impact things up in higher worlds. That's the description he gives. So we're here in this Perek Yud. He discusses the issue. Who is greater? And he asks the question directly. A Malach or a human being? Who's greater? And he takes that question on directly. And if you look where I put the brackets here, this is on page versus Paragud, this page Nefesh HaChayim, he says, Ki vadai malach gadol me'adam. He says, certainly an angel is greater than a human being. Heim betzem mahuso, in his essence. Heim begodol kedushaso, in his holiness. Yifosu sagoso, in his understanding. In erech v'dinyo v'neim ka. It says, you can't compare a human being to a malach. I mean, a malach interacts with Hashem, has a spiritual understanding, is holy and pure and pristine, much greater than us in that respect. But flip the page, he says, you skip down, you know, to the, I put the arrow there. Omnam, however, b'davar echad yisron gadol adam malachim. A human being has a great advantage over malach in one area. V'uha alos v'skashros alamos v'kochos v'oros echad v'chavero. That's the human being's ability to bind together all the worlds, the physical and the spiritual. Asher zeh ein b'koach klal l'shum malach, that no malach can do. So what we have the ability is, we can take what's in our world and we can connect it with the spiritual. And he's describing here, you know, in spiritually there's a lot of worlds out there. And Kabbalistically there's all sorts of levels. But on a very simple level, we can look at two different realms. There's the physical realm and the spiritual realm. And the human being is able to connect those two realms, and the malach can't do that. The malach, as holy and as pure as the malach is, there's no way for a malach to connect the physical to the spiritual. Only we can do that. That's the unique area of the human being, which really, if you think about what we learned in the story of the malachim and Moshe, that's what we're describing. Do you have jealousy? Do you reproduce? Do you have parents? Do you eat? Those things are all very physical things. And part of the concept is that, yeah, because we can take those physical things, and then we can somehow fuse them with the spiritual and make them holy. And that a malach has no ability to do. And he explains further, and this comes from the fact that a malach really is a one-sided being, we'll call it. Now the human being is made up of all ingredients, we'll call it. You know, there's the neshama and there's the guf. The spiritual side, the physical side. And beyond that, the way it's described is that when the human being was created, Hashem took from all of his worlds and put him into the recipe for Adam. So because we have in ourselves all of the spiritual realms and physical realms, we can affect them all. A malach is a one-sided creature. It's made up of, you know, one aspect, spiritual, and that's it. So it can't impact anything else. I'm skipping the parentheses. L'chein ein b'koach v'yicholos ha-malach klal ha'alos l'kashriyacha kol olam ba'olam ha-natuvi al-roshayim. So malach has no ability to connect its world with the world above, because it just is what it is. Because the malach does not have any common ingredients with other worlds. So again, he's using a lot of very Kabbalistic terms, but we can understand the concept very much on our level. And then we have the ability to take things of our world and elevate them and connect them upwards, and a malach has no ability to do that. So this is one of the major roles of the Torah, which is that the Torah trains us that even though we are physical and we have to deal with physical items and physical urges and desires in a physical life, we can take those things and we can really elevate them to very spiritual, lofty levels. That's the role of the human being. That's what Torah is for. That's the Torah's whole focus, is how do you the mitzvahs are all physical. Every mitzvah is a physical thing. You know, whether it be a prohibition, don't eat that, whether it be, you know, shake this, the lulav, or whatever it is, everything's physical in the Torah. Eat matzah, you know, don't wear shatnez, all these things, you're talking about clothing, food, people, emotions, these are all things in the physical world. And the Torah is training us, if you do what it says in the Torah, you're able to take those things and elevate them to connect them with much higher worlds. The Maharal adds in a further point, and he says that, I think I quoted it here, but we don't have to read it inside right now, but the Maharal says that another idea of an Adam, of a human being being a walker, and a Malach being stationary, he says is that, and it all ties together, it's just the human being is the one creature which is created not in its final form. I mean, we have a long way to go. You know, we're not only physically, I mean spiritually. You know, we have a certain role and mission in life, and as we're created, we're nowhere near that mission. We have a long way to go. We have to grow. We have to mature. We have to do mitzvahs. We have to be able to interact with people. We have a lot to do in a lifetime to reach our goals. Because we're born with a lot of potential, but we have to bring it out to reality. A behema, an animal. So the Maharal is famous for this idea. He says, an animal, the word behema, can be broken up into two words. Ba, ma. it is what it is, basically. Ba'ma. In it, it is what it is. Because the animal, it's created as is. Its mission is to be the animal, and then it dies as the animal. I mean, it doesn't have anything to do. A malach, also, like we said, is a stander. It's stationary. It has nothing to, it just, you know, it's created with perfection, and that's it. Now, we're created totally in a world of potential, and Hashem is just waiting for us to move towards that reality. So the idea that we're walkers, that we're walking towards a goal. So it's not just that we have the ability to go level to level. It's not just that we can connect to other worlds. It's that, you know, we are always moving towards a goal in life. And other, there's no other creature anywhere that's supposed to live life moving towards a goal. It's like the human being is. The Maharal says you find that in the extra world, Adam. You know, human being is Adam. Adam comes from the word Adama, ground. And we know ground to us is a model of potential. Because the ground itself is worthless, but you know you put a seed inside and it can produce all sorts of fruits and food. So the ground we look at is kind of the symbol of potential, and it means that the ground is meant to, you know, do its thing and move towards, you know, it's being fruitful, it's productivity. It's the human being as well. You know, we're created with potential, but we have a long way to go. And we have to reach that point of fulfilling our mission in life. So we're always holchim, we're always walkers. And that's, again, what's our mission? It's the Torah. So the Torah is given to us that because Sivan is the month, you know, to recognize moving and walking, the Torah is given to us to show us what are we walking towards? Now, where are we going? Where are we trying to get to in life? I find interesting also, it kind of plays into another idea we see a few times throughout Torah and Halacha, which is that we know when Moshe Rabbeinu was at the burning bush, at the Sneh. So Hashem comes out and tells him, Shal na lechem algach, take off your shoes. So what happens if you take off your shoes? It means you're remaining in place. You're being stationary. Right? Without your shoes, you can't really go anywhere. So there are certain times, Kohanim and the Beis HaMikdash, when they did the Avodah, they didn't wear shoes. Moshe Rabbeinu at the Sneh didn't wear shoes. You have certain times you're not supposed to wear shoes. There's actually an old debate. Is it appropriate to wear shoes in shul or not? I believe many Sephardi Jews, I don't know about anymore, but they used to have the minhag not to wear shoes in shul, take them off at the door. For Ashkenazim, you're supposed to wear shoes. If not, it's disrespectful. And different cultures have different approaches to that, I think, in the world in general. I think in Asian culture, you always take your shoes off at the door, you know. But in Western culture, you always leave your shoes on. It's inappropriate to take your shoes off on someone else's. You know, it just depends on your culture. But in the Beis HaMikdash, they didn't wear shoes. So in Shemoneh Esrei, we stand still. We leave our shoes on, but we stand still. And there's certain times in life where, even though we're supposed to be moving, some places, you know, you feel, I'm at a goal right now. If you're in the Beis HaMikdash, you know, you're at a mini goal. You have to leave eventually. You can't stay there forever. But when you're at the Beis HaMikdash, you're on holy ground. So you don't need to be a walker. Then you can be a stander because you reached the goal. When you're in Moshe Rabbeinu at the burning bush encountering Hashem, so then that's actually Har Sinai. So where are you going? You're with Hashem right now. You take off your shoes. You stay put. You know, when you say Shemar Esrei, you put your feet together and you stand there. Then right now you're doing something which is not. You have nowhere else to go right now. Right now you're involved in your purpose because you're standing there and you're davening to Hashem. Even on a broader level, we have a concept of that you should delay leaving Shabbos, delay Havdalah. I'm Acham to the Shabbos. Why? Because it's Shabbos now. Where are you going? What do you have to do? Stay put. You know, as it were, take your shoes off. You can leave your shoes on Shabbos. But the point being that there's sometimes in life where you're somewhere you don't need to walk anywhere. So the idea of walking is that moving towards a goal. You do find there are certain things we have in our daily routines, in our daily lives as Jews, where we are at a goal. So in those times are where we should, you know, take off our shoes, as it were, or stay put and recognize we're holding at that goal right now. So so it puts it all together. So Sivan's in the month of walking. You know, it's the idea of hiluch, of walking, and it's the month of the left leg, we said. Which means it's coming, what we were learning, it's coming to highlight the difference between a malach and a human being. And before we sat down today, we all thought the malachim are so great and holy, which they are. But really, you know, we can do so much more than a malach can do. And we and in many ways, we are greater than a malach. We know our role. We realize our role is that we're supposed to be down here keeping the Torah in this world. Human being is not going to be a malach. If we have nothing else to do, then our life now has no meaning. The different Svarim explain, and when Moshe Rabbeinu on his last day of life, he says, "Lo uchal ol latzisu lavo." He says, "I can no longer come and go." So different Svarim explain that means that Moshe Rabbeinu at that point had fulfilled his whole mission in life. He was done. So he died that day. Because when you're a human being, you've done everything you have to do, so then it's time to move on. You know, there's nowhere else to walk anymore. At that point, Moshe Rabbeinu, he died and he was buried. So we have to know that our role in life is that we keep on walking. You know, we walk in the way that we're always trying to grow. We walk in the way that we're able to take things that are physical and move them as well. We're able to move, and as a Malach is stationary, he has one level, we can connect levels. And we walk in the way that we're always moving towards a certain goal in life. That's our walking. So it's important for us to embrace this challenge. You know, the Hashem told the Malachim, you don't get the Torah because you don't have challenges. The Torah is for people who have challenges. That's by design, like we read in the Sefer Sharim. By design, the human being is put in the world with challenges. That's the design of the world. And this is that's not considered a b'di'evit, something that, you know, unfortunately we have to deal with it. We have to embrace our challenge. We don't ask for challenges. That's for sure. David and Melch asked for a challenge, and Hashem, you know, had a problem with it. You don't ask for a challenge. We daven every day, don't bring me to a nisayon. That's every morning in davening, we say, don't bring me to a challenge. But every human being will have their challenges, both internal and external. And we have to recognize, you know, that's where the big bucks are made. You know, that's separation between the men and the boys, as it were. That's where a person really grows. Because that's what life's all about. Life's about, based on what we've seen, that we're human, and we're going to have shortcomings or challenges or struggles. And if we can succeed in overcoming them, we're going to move towards our mission and goal in life. If we have trouble with them, we end up falling backwards. But we're moving. We're always in movement. We're in constant flux. A malach doesn't have that. They are what they are. There's no challenge. There's no struggle. But they get no reward either. There's no ol haba for a malach. A malach is what it is. And that's all. It's stationary. It's frozen. And it remains. The Tehillim. We had adult Tim that before. It's fine. Sign of good use. just to look again back. This is all based on Perches and Tehillim, and that's where the whole debate between the Malach and Moshe Rabbeinu is based on what it says in this Perek. Hashem Arneinu, Hashem our God. Ma dir Hashem chol haaretz, how great is your name in the land? Asher tachol shemayim, you should put your glory, your majesty in the heavens. Don't give the Torah to the human being. So that's how the whole parak begins. And then we have the Malach's complaint. Ma'enosh kisiv karenu, ben adam kisiv kedenu. What worth is a human being? You should remember him. What worth is mortal man? You should be mindful of him. And that's really what the Malach says to Hashem. But then you have the next line. In Pasuk Vav it says, V'tachzeril me'at melokim. But we have to realize that, no, the human being is extremely important. You've made him just a little less than godly, than angelic. The kavod ha'har te'atreo, and you've crowned the human being with honor and with splendor. Tamshalil b'mais yedecha, you've given him dominion over all of your work in this world. Kol shat tachas raglov, you've placed everything under his feet. Etc. So this same Kapitel Tehillim, which is the Malach coming to accuse us and blame us of being lowly and, you know, disgraceful, it actually highlights to us how great a human being can be. And this idea of Tachzeril Mi'at Melokim, that, you know, we're just short of being godly. You know, we can get there. The human being is able to get there. Hashem made us with incredible powers. He gave us the entire world to rule over. And at the end of the Kapitel, says the Malach, agreed to Hashem that the human being deserved the Torah. And that's really, so our job is to take the Torah and use it to reach our goals and to rise up above, you know, everything in this world.
What number is that?
8.
Yes. Okay.